Do-do-do-do-do.
Logoria.
Welcome to the Logoria podcast. My name is Clark Hubbard.
Corey Adams.
Cameron Woodard.
Katie Chappell.
This is the Arts Entertainment Podcast, where we talk about movies, music, and TV shows. Katie Chappell is back with us after a hiatus of, what, 6-7 years?
It's been so long. I don't even remember what this podcast is called anymore.
I missed you.
It's called Logoria.
Logoria.
Now, Cameron Woody Woodard is joining in today. Woody, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I got the nickname Woody a long time ago, and at this point I don't think people even know what my first name is, but I'm glad you do. So.
Absolutely. Speaking of Woody, this episode of Logoria is not brought to you by the Toy Story franchise. The Toy Story franchise is all about haunting my nightmares as a child, so we are not sponsored by them today. So with that, update on Liz Caldwell, and I did talk to her about this. Liz is sick, but not normal sick.
No.
Liz woke up a few days ago, couldn't breathe. So she went to the emergency room. Katie, keep it going.
Yeah, she went to St. Louis with her parents. I think she's from Missouri, if that's correct.
Sure.
I think so. I'm pretty sure. So they went to St. Louis, good hospitals there.
Yes.
And there's... not to divulge all of her personal information, but something about a possible mass on the lung, and they don't think it's cancerous, but they're just running some test work, making sure everything's okay, obviously trying to fix the can't breathe problem.
That's a problem.
Breathing's important.
Yes.
Good. So, just keep her in your thoughts.
Absolutely.
But don't worry too much. She is definitely in good spirits. We've been in contact with her.
She sent us a selfie.
She
did send us a selfie. It was a good selfie.
It was.
Yes, good selfie.
So just keep her in your thoughts and prayers, and hopefully she will be back in the next couple weeks on the podcast. Now, with that, let's get into our first segment of the day, talking about movies. I will start this section out, and the movie that I saw a couple weeks ago when I had the flu and when I watched those 9 movies in a row. I just stocked up for the rest of Logoria.
Wow, basically. Perfect. All French movies?
Not all French movies. This one is Seven Samurai by Akira Kurosawa. One of, like, the number one films. Like, if you look up top films, it's like Kurosawa's, like, right there, Seven Samurai. And it's really long, but the plot summary is that it's Bug's Life, but with samurai.
That's what you tweeted.
Yes.
I remember.
I did tweet about that. It's really, really well done. It's shot well. It's acted well. There's subtitles, so I assume everybody's voices are just golden, but I don't know. You just can't know.
You can't know.
Yeah.
You can't know. I don't feel like I can listen to, like, French poetry and be like, that sounds good. In the same way, I can't watch Seven Samurai and be like, they're delivering those lines so well. Yeah. But they're acting otherwise. Spectacular.
Well, I'm going to have to watch it because I loved Bug's Life. So.
You did. Well, this...
do you not anymore?
I think...
No.
Okay. I think Seven Samurai ripped off Bug's Life, in my opinion. But that's okay.
Do you think the Japanese, you know, filmmakers are just watching Pixar movies?
Which one came first?
Bug's Life.
Really?
No.
Good Pixar
movies.
I was going
to say... Did
it come out in, like, 1980s?
1954.
Really?
Wow.
The Samurai movie came out...
The Samurai movie?
The Samurai. The Last Samurai?
Katie, you're the residential Googler. Will you look up when Seven Samurai came out while Corey and I hash this out? Corey, why don't you like Bug's Life anymore?
Okay, so this might sound petty, but it looked really good when I was a kid, like visually.
Mm.
And now I look at it and I'm just like, man, those are some polygons there.
Terrible reason.
Polygons.
1954, though. So, good job, Clark. Take away a point from Corey.
So, do you hate Bug's Life because, in a similar way to you, as you get older, it looks worse?
Yeah, and just like we love people less as they are older.
Yeah.
And I love myself less as I am older.
Good.
I love Bug's Life less as it is older.
That should we listen to the Bug's Life trailer?
Okay.
I googled that.
Let's listen to about that. All right, let's listen to a little bit of the Bug's Life trailer.
Of course, naturally.
Please start it.
Yeah.
Play it loud
naturally.
Next to the mic.
Here,
and, like, hold it over there so we can, like, describe what's happening, actually. Play it loud, but hold it up so we can hear it. All right, YouTube app is loading.
Yeah, it'll just take a second.
If you're wondering why this...
Hopefully there's no ads.
When did the trailer come
out? Oh, it's Toy Story. I'm like... I really cannot deal with this.
This is going to be in Clark's nightmare tonight.
Oh, I don't like Woody. Not you, Woody. You're good.
It's okay. I forgive you.
Okay, mock suicide is the main theme I'm seeing so far.
Some great also, music.
This is really great music.
Why is Baba O'Reilly scoring Bugs Life? Is this Baba O'Reilly? Can someone back me up?
I have no plan. I have no idea. I can't Google and play this at the same time.
Pixar did trailers right.
It's making me feel.
It makes me feel a lot.
This is incredible. So now we've got the grasshoppers. They're coming in. They're being mean.
I wonder how correct these bodies are. Anyone expert in insects?
What was the question?
I hate insects, but I love about
life. How insect bodies are?
Anatomically, I think so.
Their heads seem large. You know, I don't know if it necessarily represents like their intelligence by any means, but their heads seem abnormally large. I mean, all the insects that I look at, the head seems to fit or correspond with the rest of the body, but they just seem large. I don't know if it's to draw your eyes to like the face. I don't know.
Honestly, guys, I might be changing my mind. I'm looking at this and I kind of want to watch it.
Now you want to rewatch Bugs Life?
Yeah.
I sure want to.
My love is renewed.
It's an excellent movie.
This awful movie.
I mean, I love the plot. It was solid.
There are some gender issues there. I don't know if anyone was listening, but.
Oh, we did.
You know, bugs and gender issues. It's just one of those things.
Yeah, honestly.
All right.
Beautiful comedy.
Is that enough?
Trailer. Is this just a movie?
30 more seconds.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I had no idea this was going to happen. But I do not regret my decision to play this trailer.
No, I don't either. For the colony?
Yeah.
Wow. National.
Very patriotic, yeah.
All right.
Shoo fly, don't bother me.
It's an hour and 35 minute movie. That's pretty short.
Yeah.
Turn your butt off.
Now,
quote of the day.
What a note to end on.
Before we get on to other movies, gender issues and bugs, Katie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, what a good question. I think the assuming of a gender is probably something that people really didn't talk too much about when Bugs Life came out. But who knows? I could be wrong. I was like 4 years old when I watched Bugs Life for the first time. So, The concept of the ladybug, all right, some tension on the other side of the room. The ladybug not assuming a gender probably has some revolutionary aspects to it, but gotta say, I haven't watched the whole movie in a while, so that is the only thing I have to go off of.
Next week, we'll come back and do some Freudian and...
That's what I'm here for.
The title of the next episode is Bug's Life, Ahead of Its Time.
Now, with that, Corey, we've gone off on a tangent, so...
Tangent's now over. All right. The movie that I watched was Alex Strangelove, is a movie on Netflix. At first, I saw that it was a movie called Alex Strangelove, and I was like, I'm not going to watch that. And then it kept showing up, as movies do on Netflix, and then eventually I was like, I might watch that. And then I decided I really wanted to watch it. And basically, it's sort of like a... this guy who's been with his girlfriend for a long time, and, you know, as, you know, secular individuals who do not have good core Christian values.
Yes, this message is not sponsored by Union University.
Yeah, so, you know, they hadn't, you know, consummated the relationship, if you want to put it that way.
Oh!
They
were waiting till prom night, if you will.
This is till prom night, yes. And it just rose some questions and... And you watch
what
the movie,
type of questions?
And you get to see for yourself. But I ended up liking it. It was a different. It's sort of a lot for Christian, homeschool audiences. But you know,
Christian homeschool.
But I don't know. It's a solid movie. I think everybody could be able to get something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Anything to do with, or have you heard anything about the mashup of Doctor Strange, and then
Come Again,
Doctor Strange.
And what?
And Alex Strangelove.
Okay, I mean, I don't want to get any spoilers here, but let's just say that they are related.
That's not wow. true. I've seen that.
I don't believe that.
Katie, you're they don't know.
You're lying.
Be quiet.
I honestly didn't know. I was like, is Alice? I was like, am I going to go watch this movie and then get in the after credit scene? It's just like Benedict Cumberbatch comes in.
They do kind of look alike, though.
Oh.
Yeah, whoever. Like they're both white males or what?
Wow.
They look the same to me.
Oh, man.
Unbelievable.
Can't tell them apart if you were put them in a lineup. I have no idea.
Alex Strange
except for the cape and
go watch Alex Strange.
Yeah. It was good. Well, I was gonna ask. I was gonna ask a question.
Oh, yeah,
question.
Go ahead.
What were your opinions on the ending? Because I still don't know if I liked or didn't like the ending.
Okay, no spoil. This is
yeah. We will all spoil.
You liked how vague I was. I was very vague.
Well, basically, there's just, like, a lot of tension throughout the movie concerning the characters that I'm sure you're, like, referring
mm-hmm.
to.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely felt some type of way about it. And in the end, I think, like, other movies we've discussed in the past, I think, I don't know if we talked about Moonlight on the show or not, and just, like, shows like that, where the ending is not, you know, necessarily satisfactory, and it's not necessarily cathartic or whatever, but that's the point.
There's still something there. Like, even in Moonlight, like, that movie ends and you're like, huh.
Yeah, I think that's part of the message.
I think really what I was thinking about, there's this moment where he has some flashbacks.
Yeah.
And I just thought that maybe it wasn't well done
movie. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And, like, that the concept of the flashbacks, if they had, like, sort of
put that throughout the movie.
Right, and it just comes up, and then you're like, wait, what?
Sort of
and
it's just Machina, sort of.
How many flashbacks are we talking, like, in a row?
Well, literally just one flashback.
One giant flashback that happens near the end.
Yeah.
And it's very revelatory, and maybe it was supposed to be, like, sort of embodying what it's like to have a flashback in a moment of realization, but
It was just not led up to at all, mm-hmm. and it definitely largely affects the character, and it sheds new light on the experiences, and sort of you have to, like, go back and be like, all right, well, the rest of the movie makes more sense, mm-hmm. and you can get more from it now. Yeah. But the fact that they didn't put that flashback,
there are definitely there are some parts where he should have been having many revelations and many self discoveries, and not many. Yes, and a miniature. There we go.
Okay. Well,
many.
With that, Alex Strangelove, ladies and gentlemen, Woody. What do you have for us?
So, a little while back, I was on the Netflix train again.
Cool.
And, you know, and I'm not a big fan of, like, scrounging through Netflix to find movies because a lot of, you know.
What a verb.
I do
because
that.
Because at some point you crawl across something like the movie I saw. It's called Nerve. It's got Emma Roberts, Dave Franco in it, which already
automatically
is.
Automatically the worst.
Automatically.
Not because of Emma Roberts. We would like to clarify that.
I would like to clarify that I did not mind watching the movie, but not because it was a good movie.
Well, it's Dave.
Dave is so pretty.
The
anyway.
Plot line was just, like, you had an sort of a somewhat original idea in the sense that it's some sort of, like, game where you have to do stuff, like you have to do, like, a dare. Like,
yeah,
the game is called Nerve.
Okay.
Oh, I know what movie this is.
It takes a very drastic turn. It goes from 0 to 100 in probably the first 15 minutes, where at first you're singing.
Like, if you don't complete this challenge, you'll be killed.
Yeah, or it's like, it goes from stand on top of a table and sing happy birthday to kill your father. Like, it's just.
Spoiler.
Is that Macbeth?
And. Mm-hmm. The ending was very unsatisfying. The acting was just subpar. And the whole time I was like, okay, this is going to get better, surely. Because it had...
That's how my college experience has been.
Optimist Woody.
Very good.
I want to grind through it. I want to be able to analyze it, think about it. And then
give it a fair shake.
Given my roommates...
Give it a fair shake.
I've asked people about it, and a lot of people I've talked to really enjoyed it. And that makes me question whether or not, like, what kind of movies are we watching?
I was going to say, and I feel like this is something that's sort of a question for everybody. Is it something that happens for you when you watch a movie and you hate it? And
terrible.
Then other people talk about how they like it. Does it make you feel like their taste is worse?
Yeah, no,
yes.
I immediately place myself above them.
I lose respect. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's so stupid. That
I have a specific movie in mind,
too. It's probably problematic, but I definitely feel like it happens.
Mm-hmm.
I just, like, I know that, like, I've seen a lot of different films and, like, a lot of older films, and I love art house films. So that's, my music taste is different. But when somebody watches a movie that I saw and I was like, ooh, that was not great, and they're like, that was incredible. I'm just like, really?
The Greatest Showman.
That's literally the movie I was thinking about.
Did you not like The Greatest Showman?
So
people swore by it. I heard.
Okay, so the thing
I refused
is,
to watch it.
I refused to watch like it as it. Well.
I heard I don't a lot like about it. It, and then on a flight it was available, so I decided to watch it.
Yeah,
and I watched it, and I didn't love it because it's not really my type of movie.
Sure,
but I definitely did not hate it. And I've had a couple of different friends, Katie being one of them.
I hate it.
Despise it.
Mm.
Katie, why do you not like The Greatest Showman?
I think that it would. I think it would take us too long for me to discuss all of the reasons. But I'll put maybe the reason. Maybe I'm being too harsh on it because maybe it's supposed to be meant for children. But it touches on a lot of important things, like themes of inclusivity or interracial relationships. But, yeah, you know, a lot of different things, and it does none of them well.
Excuse me, doesn't Hugh Jackman ride on an elephant a long way?
That's
probably
all that matters.
I don't even remember. I think I've blocked a lot of this movie out, actually. But except for the parts that I really didn't like. So there's, like, I don't know, maybe one or two good empowering scenes, I guess. But I think that overall they like put on a facade of, oh, we're liberal, we're progressive, we're talking about things that are new. But they like didn't actually talk about any of the issues in these issues. They were just okay. Like, here's an issue and we've overcome it. Look how easy it was. All we had to do was sit around and sing the song and fly on some trapeze.
I can see that.
Was like, that's not how this works. Like, interracial relationships were not that easy. This would have been dangerous for their lives. Then they were just like, Mom and Dad, you don't understand me. And I was like, that's not the issue at hand.
That raises a good question, because at what point when you're watching a movie like that, do you want it to be more realistic, more about daily life? Because on some level, I like movies that are kind of utopian a little bit. Like, they kind of take me to a better reality. But then there are movies that try and deal with reality in the wrong way. They do it so poorly. Like, just be real. Like, why do we have to be utopian when we talk about it?
I'm fine if you are utopian, and I'm fine if you're more dystopian.
Right.
But if you're, like, dealing with these really hard issues, and you're like, look, interracial relationship, that's perfect. Look, that's not it. It's never been a problem, really.
Right.
It's sort of just like this, like, a weird washing over. Like, mm-hmm. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Well, we've talked
it also
specifically with, if I may, with Zendaya and Zac Efron to have an interracial relationship is what Katie's talking about. And I think I can see what she's talking about in that there's conflict shown, but then it is too easily resolved.
Oh, yeah, and it's so and it the conflict is not the accurate conflict that would have been the problem at hand. It was just like, my parents don't accept us. Oh no. But like, oh okay, like also people kind of tried to kill you for that. Yeah, like
right.
Yeah, like also there are a lot of problems. Like, you couldn't get married legally, like so many things. And also, like, they just sort of slid past the fact that the freaks, quote unquote, were very mistreated, and they had a lot. They were very objectified and used by whatever Burnham, whatever his name is, Bo Burnham. That's all I can think of is the comedian. I know that's not the right name. But anyway, they just slid right past that. And then at one point, Hugh Jackman apologizes, and they just immediately accept it. Like, before he finishes his sentence, they're like, we forgive you. And I was like, no, don't do that. Like, he did some bad things, and you have to, like, deal with that. That's not how, like, conflict is solved. It's just to forget about it.
So do you feel like it is better to try to adjust, take care of these issues in a bad way, or like in a utopian way or whatever, or just to not talk about them at all?
Yeah, I'd say if you're going to deal with them well. And if you're otherwise, just don't deal with them.
Very cool. Katie, what's your movie?
My movie, very new, very recent, still out in theaters. It's called The Lost Boys, and Actually, maybe I shouldn't have lied to you because you might have never heard of that movie. It's from the 80s. It's not new. It's very old, but it's very fun.
She got us. She got us real good. I was like, I've not seen this before. Maybe I'll go to the theater later. Yeah. So, brief plot summary. Mm-hmm. Give us a story.
Vampires.
Mm. There we go.
Really? There it is. It's just vampires.
Sparkly or murdery?
Murdery. Definitely murdery. With some, my favorite part in the movie, this is not a spoiler really, is just the line, death by stereo. So, I feel like that sort of sums it all up.
Wow. Is it like purposefully comedic?
I couldn't say if it was purposely comedic. I would say it is, but also maybe that's just my perception of the
80s.
Yeah. So
the 80s are a very non-ironic time.
Unique time. Yeah. It's got, who's mouth in the Goonies? You know who I'm talking about?
No idea. But I believe you.
Well, never mind. Here I thought Clark would just know the answer. But,
Normally I do. So yeah. I apologize.
So anyway, some real classic people. Kiefer Sutherland's in it. He's a vampire. Good. If you were wondering.
Majestic.
Yes. Yeah. A very interesting concept.
He plays the same role in every.
Corey Feldman. There he is. Corey and Corey Haim. Those are the two of the main famous Good. Boys.
How do we kill vampires in this universe?
There's a few different ways. To do it, steak in the heart, holy water, okay, so garlic. The
Italian meal, you're in trouble.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. The sunlight, water. Obviously. So the main battle takes place at night, after the sun goes down.
Classic.
Also, I guess apparently. Oh, I guess no. That's how he dies by the stereo. Never mind. That's a stake through the stereo. And the vampire.
Interesting.
And then it.
So it's a stereo sandwich.
Yeah, and then the stereo turns on, and then it all goes crazy, and then somebody just whispers, death by stereo. It's the best line in the movie, arguably.
It doesn't seem like being a vampire is very effective, because if you can die by stereo and sunlight, those seem like easily accessible
it
weapons
seems very
for any
silly
random
that,
person.
That the main characters in this movie are able to kill any vampires.
It would have been much easier before the advent of the stereo to be a vampire. And I think that's the thesis. That
so true.
I have a question, though. So can vampires drink Sunny D?
No.
It has the power of the sun.
Oh, okay.
So no, they can't.
That's true. Well said.
Good point.
Thank you, Corey. Snaps for Corey, everybody.
Yeah.
I try.
He does try. With that, we spent a long time talking about movies. So I'm going to say we're skipping the shows. We might be able to come back to a couple of them. But let's move on to music that we've been listening to. And so, Corey, would you like to share with us the music that you've been listening to recently?
All right. So this guy, his name is Ben Lonkel Soul, or Ben Lonk Soul. It's French for the uncle. But he's this, I think of him like the French Michael Bublé. he has a lot of songs in French, but he also has a lot of songs that you would know, like Fly Me to the Moon and New York, New York, that he does that I really like, and they're different. I'm going to play Fly Me to the Moon by him.
Fade in.
Of course.
It's more dramatic if you fade in.
Kiss me, oh, feel my heart beat song, and let me sing forevermore.
That's a nice fade out.
Ooh, good fade out.
Oh, man.
Good. Wow.
I practiced.
Clean.
What's your favorite part about him?
So, I like that he has these jazzy, like, R&B sort of takes on a type of jazz, like, it's still jazz, but a different type of jazz, right?
Yeah,
this isn't like Frank Sinatra, you know?
Sure. Even though, does he have, like, a Sinatra cover album? Because those songs you mentioned.
No, those two specifically, but he also has, like, Seven Nation Army. Like, it's
classic. Classic Frank Sinatra, Seven Nation Army.
Yeah, so he just has these songs that you would know, but when the song comes on, you wouldn't be like, oh, wow, this is New York, New York, or Fly Me to the Moon.
Interesting.
So I really like that about him.
Good. Katie, what music have you been listening to?
So I've been listening to this band and this song because of, I guess, the resolution of a controversy in the past few weeks when Paramore decided that they are no longer going to play Misery Business. And I don't know if you're supporting the decision or against the decision.
We do, so.
This is, I'll play the controversial line, and then I will talk more. So get ready, because this is wild. Okay. Second chances, they don't ever matter. People never change. What's the whore? You know some more. I'm sorry, that will never change. And about forgiveness, we're both supposed to have a shake. Sorry, honey, but I pass it up. Now look this way. Well, there's a million other girls who do it just like you. Looking as innocent as possible to get to who. They want it, what they like. It's easy if you do it right. Well, I refuse, I refuse, I refuse. I tried to pause it right before the whoa, but it didn't work. Anyway.
I was going to be so upset if you paused it before the whoa.
I was going to. The whoa is so powerful. I was going to really catch you off guard.
So let's discuss this lyric.
Yeah, so I don't know if you noticed what the controversial lyric was, but it's, once a whore, you're nothing more. I'm sorry, that will never change. And so it was written, I think, when Hayley Williams was 17?
Something like that.
Very young. Very young. And not to say that just because you're 17, you don't know what you're,
hashtag Kavanaugh, what? Okay,
doing. But anyway, to move right along, she and the band Paramore have decided that those lyrics do not no longer reflect beliefs that they hold, and that it would just be wrong to continue singing the song if they have changed and matured. And so that was very interesting, although to be fair, it is one of my favorite songs because it is a real jam.
It's a bop,
as the kids say. So big fan, but I'm also very proud of their decision. I think it says a lot about how we can move on and better ourselves. And
It's very mature.
I thought it was. I don't think I've ever really heard of a band doing that. Maybe setting an interesting precedent.
More of that.
So
yeah. Woody, what have you been listening to?
Well, I'll show you.
You'll show us. Or
well, you'll hear it.
Oh, okay.
You'll show us our ears.
Your monsters, I see your pain. Tell me your problems, I'll chase them away. I'll be your lighthouse, I'll make it okay. When I see your monsters, I'll stand there so brave and chase them all away. A cup of coffee still steaming, staring back at me, and it's blacker than the night.
All right,
caught us by surprise.
So, whomst is that?
Yeah, so this is a band called Time Flies, and basically, this is on one of my nights where I'm just like scrounging on Spotify. I use that word again, by the way. And it's one of those songs where I don't listen to a lot of the band. Actually, I don't like a lot of their music. This is one of the few songs that I did like. Yeah. And anytime you can enter a song that's like a little more upbeat, like rap style almost, but not like completely. But you can start with like a really good female vocalist. You like have me, like I love it. And I, for some reason, I'm drawn to songs that talk about like mental states. So monsters, and then you have a famous song, you know, Unwell by Matchbox 20, all those sort of things. But that talk about that always
Scary
really
monsters and nice sprites. The 2012 classic by Skrillex.
Monster by Skillet.
Mm. That's a good one.
The real Bob.
I feel like a monster.
Because I feel like at some point we all want to feel like we're all like a little off sometimes. Like we all want to feel that way or feel a little unique in that sense. And so we'll find music that kind of speaks to that. Do you know what I mean? And
yeah,
so
absolutely.
I really liked it.
So when you are feeling a certain way, say you're feeling sad one day, do you listen to sad music to empathize and feel empathized with? Or do you listen to happy music or a little bit of both, or is that not a concern?
Oh, the music I listen to definitely follows my mood. Like, absolutely. I think a lot of times that's the danger with music, especially if it affects you emotionally, mm-hmm. is it can put you in like really dramatic headspaces, especially like the time you listen to music or like whatever you're listening to.
Yeah.
It can dramatically affect people. And I think Absolutely. There's a danger in music that way, but it's still pretty awesome.
It can be. The editors would like to make a correction. Scary Monsters and Nice Sprites by Skrillex was actually released in 2013.
Boo, Clark. Boo.
The editors have spoken, Chapel. So with that, let's get into our last song of the day. I think I've talked about the Greeting Committee before on here, but I'm not sure if I've played them. If I have, I haven't played this song. I saw them open for Jukebox the Ghost, a band that we've actually had interview on here before. And so, yeah, here's a little bit of their song, You've Got Me. I'm going to fade it in a little bit before the chorus, just so you can hear this sweet build-up.
Beautiful.
Dig those backup vocals.
They're so good.
Yeah. How was that live?
It was incredible. So the bassist.
That was live?
The bassist, that was not live, but seeing it live, the bassist drops his bass and goes over and picks up the brass. And I was like, excuse me. Because I have not heard this band before.
Who gave you the right?
I have not heard this band before. Like, we listened to a couple of their singles on the way to the concert. As you know, like, openers are like, oh, who is this? I have no idea.
Right, yeah.
But... like, I went for Jukebox the Ghost, and I'm glad I went for the Greeting Committee.
Mm.
Absolutely incredible. And their first, I think it's their first full-length album, or at least their first one in a while, is coming out really soon. Yeah, all they've got right now is singles and EPs. So their first full album's coming out soon, and I'm really excited for that.
Awesome.
So speaking of things we're excited about, let's talk about movies, music, TV shows that are coming out soon that we're hype about. Katie, Corey, do you guys have anything?
Is Stranger Things season 3 coming out this year?
No, I think it's next summer.
Well,
should I Google it?
Are you still
it?
Excited about it?
I just want more.
Just want more.
Don't Good. We all?
That's fair. Katie.
So I think around Halloween-y time, there's a new Halloween movie
really?
Coming out, I do believe, with Jamie Lee Curtis that I am very excited for. I am a connoisseur of scary movies. Big fan of the first Halloween. Not so much the others, but the first Halloween.
So it's in the Halloween franchise.
Yes, it's, okay. Yeah, and it's starring Jamie Lee Curtis. So she's back again. I think there was another one she came back for, but it was about her son, really. So anyway, yeah. And so I'm excited to see how that turns out. Should be interesting. Trying not to get too high of hopes, but excited for it to come out.
Is it a remake or is it in the
No, I don't
series?
Think it's a remake. I think it's a, not a sequel, a seventh.
A sequel.
There it
That's
is.
That's what they say. Woody, do you have anything coming out soon?
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting because I might be going to see Venom when that comes out.
Okay. Now,
tell me about it.
Listen, the reason this is interesting for me is because I'm not a big sort of superhero, supervillain kind of guy, really. I'm a Marvel fan. Like, I'll go and watch that the things blow up and watch Robert Downey Jr. be funny and witty, but... this has an interesting twist in the sense that he's kind of the bad guy, right?
Yeah,
he's
got this anti-hero.
He's got this anti-hero. And if they can run with that well and not try and make it, listen, I'm an anti-hero, but I'm going to switch at the end and I'm going to be the good guy.
Yeah. If they follow the Deadpool stuff that they've been doing pretty well, I'm going to be happy about it.
I think also
Deadpool's a great
character. It's Tom Hardy. Absolutely. So.
Right.
Yes.
Fantastic Tom Hardy, choice. So, yeah.
Just like prepare to just. Want to date that man after this movie. That's all
prepared.
I've got to say.
I am prepared. I don't know. I am nervous more than excited for that movie.
Pourquoi?
But I don't
That's
know. Just the trailers.
French for why.
Yeah, okay. Very good. Thank you.
The trailers and things that I've, the promotional materials that I've seen so far, I just feel like the treatment of anti-heroes is such a precarious thing, and it's not right. easy to pull them off well. Right. So, and I'm also just very critical of superhero movies, too. But, we'll see. I'm not going to cast judgment on it before it comes out. Like, the promotional materials are only so much. So, I might even go see it with you, Woody. We'll see.
Let's do it. I think there's something interesting I found out about Venom. Is it was originally, so in the trailer, like at the end of the trailer, they have, it says, I think it's embrace your anti-hero, something like that. But it originally was the world already has too many superheroes. And I was kind of bummed that they changed that because I kind of like the vibe of that first sort of phrase rather than the other ones, because that just makes it sound like...
Sorry, which one is the one you prefer? I prefer
the one that said there's already too many superheroes.
Yeah.
And because I kind of feel like that. I feel
that's
like
more the vibe. That's more the sentiment that we have.
There's so many movies out there about the good guys winning. I kind of want the bad guy. I want to see the bad guy.
I was going to say the bad guy won recently.
No one thought that during World War II, but okay.
Wow.
Katie.
Well, we can talk about subjectivity when it comes to war. But with that, thank you so much for listening to the Loggeria podcast. We appreciate your support. Please do continue sending in those donations. You help make every episode just a little bit better. I'll remind you that we're sponsored by almost no one, including Bose speakers. Have you ever been in a car and the music's just too bumping?
Yeah.
No.
All the time.
All right, Katie. We'll see if you make it back to the next episode. Anyways, this episode is not brought to you by Bose speakers. Thank you for listening to Loggeria. My name is Clark Hubbard.
Corey Adams.
Cameron Woodard.
Katie Chapel.
Disney 365.
And we will see you next time. RIP Liz Caldwell.
No.
Liz is fine, everyone.
Do, 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 do.
Loggeria.